Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We have come to the last episode in this amazing series on Isaiah, the Gospel Prophet. I just want to say, if you missed any, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can watch the entire series. We're glad you're with us today. The rebirth of planet Earth. And I'm glad to have the team here again. Yeah. Hasn't it been an amazing series?
Yes.
Absolutely amazing. You notice that we're just 5 instead of 12 in the team. That's not because we sent everyone else home. It's because of the restrictions during this pandemic. But we've discovered, and it's a lesson for life, that God, well, He can accomplish a lot with a few or with many. Mm-hmm. And He's a great and awesome God. And this series has been a real blessing to us. We also have been offering you a special gift during this series. If you haven't yet taken advantage of it, it's an audiobook, digital download called Radical Evidence. You see, all of these prophecies from Isaiah, well, there are other prophecies in the scriptures that Jesus said, they all were fulfilled in His life as the true Messiah. How can you get your copy of that audiobook, digital download? Just go to our regular email address, sshope@hopetv.org, and in the subject line, put free offer. And we'll send it to you, a link, so that you can get your copy. You even have our permission to share it with loved ones and friends. This radical evidence will bless your life. It will turn unbelievers into followers of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. So make sure you get your copy. We're always happy to hear from you. Hope Sabbath School members, SS Hope, hopetv.org is where you can share your testimony with us. And here are just a few to share today. Actually, this is on our Facebook page. Did you know we have 180,000 followers on Facebook?
Nice. Amen.
That's awesome, isn't it? I don't use Facebook that much, but I do look at our Hope Sabbath School Facebook. Debbie writes and says, "Praise God for His words and praise God for Hope Sabbath School that shares good news with the world."
Amen.
I can almost see her smiling. "Praying that the Lord continue to bless all of you. Your dedication to the mission is remarkable." And we say,
hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise God. That's right. It's all about Him, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Debbie, for writing. This one is so powerful. I'm going to give this Hope Sabbath School member a pseudonym. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. So this is not her real name. Maria wrote to us more than a year ago and said, "Hello, Hope Sabbath School. I would like to request prayer, please. Mm-hmm. I am a church member who has gone astray from God. Mm-hmm. I am ashamed of what my life has become. I want to go back to my first love, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I have fallen into an addiction, mm-hmm. which has put me in a dire situation. Please lift me up in prayers. Mm. God knows I can really use them." Mm. Well, we prayed for Maria, pseudonym. She wrote to us this year and said, "I just want to tell you that I've gone back to church.
Amen.
I've stopped playing at the casinos. And I'm rededicating my life to Jesus.
Amen.
And I know God will help me on my journey."
Yes,
thank you for your prayers. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Well, when we get emails like that, by the way, we not only share them with the team, the participant team, but the media team, because that's such encouragement, isn't it?
Yes.
Praise God. Well, Maria, you know who you are. You know your name as well. And I want to just say hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah. Maybe someone's watching today and you're saying, "I've drifted away. I'm caught in a trap of addictions." Mm. Here's a testimony. Jesus, Messiah, the one prophesied here in the book of Isaiah, He can set you free.
Yes.
Call out to Him today. Well, here's a note from a donor in Georgia. The donor says, "I just want to let you know that Hope Channel has been a blessing to me."
Amen.
I'm sure to thousands of others around the world. And I say, yes, her pseudonym is Maria. She was blessed too. The donor goes on, may the Lord continue to bless you as you continue to spread the good news of salvation to all parts of the world.
Amen.
Encloses my small gift, and I pray it will be a blessing and help someone, and a gift of $500 for Hope Sabbath School.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to say hallelujah. It's not just about the money. It's about the partnership in mission, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where your treasure is, Jesus said, there your heart will be also, right?
That's right.
So thanks for your prayers as well, and thanks to all of our donors. We're a donor-supported ministry. We thank you. Here's a note from Edwina in Hawaii. Edwina says, thank you for Hope Sabbath School. Many of us are not able to worship with our own church family, so it's wonderful to be able to have Sabbath School and worship with you on the Sabbath day. I live on God's beautiful jewel, Hawaii. Well, there may be some other beautiful jewels in the universe, but we want to thank you, Edwina, for writing to us, for your prayers and for your support. God bless you. Mm-hmm. Here's one last note from Marilyn in North Carolina, United States of America. Marilyn writes, Hope Sabbath School is a blessing to all. Now, notice this. Thank you for carefully studying the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept. Well, you know, that's Hope Sabbath School. I did receive a criticism one time. They said, you know, that Hope Sabbath School program, it's like just a lot of Bible. And my answer would be, amen. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We want to sing, actually, one of the scripture songs that my wife has written for us to hide his word in our hearts. It's from Isaiah the prophet, the gospel prophet, Isaiah 55. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let's sing together.
Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we hear the appeal of the prophet. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And it's actually not the appeal of the prophet. It's the appeal of the Lord while there's still time, because there will come a judgment that we've studied about. But praise God, there will also be a new heavens and a new earth. Mm. And as we study today about the rebirth of planet Earth, I pray that we would get much more than information, but that deep in our hearts would be that God-inspired longing to be part of your eternal kingdom because of your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I remember someone saying, I don't want to live forever. I mean, look at all the mess. Well, the living forever is not going to be in this mess.
Yes.
We're going to start with what I think is the first reference to a new heavens and new earth, Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17. And Haiti, if you could begin our study today, Isaiah 65, verse 17.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind.
Let's think about that for just a minute. Who's speaking here?
God is speaking.
Yeah, the Lord God speaking. Now, someone may be just joining us today. How can Isaiah write down words of the Lord?
They were revealed to him.
That's right. In the book, it says, I know the end from the beginning, right? And he reveals it, Amos 3, 7, to his servants, the prophets. So there are times when God may give a vision, like to Daniel, and he writes it in his own words. There are some times that the prophet may hear the angel speak, and other times the Lord himself. And here, the Lord says, Behold, I create. Well, we know that's not a person. That's the Lord God. I create new heavens and new earth. What do you think it means that the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind? Will we have no recollection that we lived on this sinful planet? No recollection about the amazing plan of salvation, all that Jesus accomplished? Travis, what do you think it means?
He'll bear the scars in his hands, but we won't remember the bad times and the suffering and all that pain anymore.
Anybody want to agree or disagree? Lisa? Oh,
absolutely. I was going to say it will just pale in comparison to what we're experiencing then.
He's going to wipe all tears from our eyes, isn't he, Stephanie?
Well, I wonder if it's that it completely pales into, when we compare the two, we realize that what we have is so much better than what we had before.
Yeah.
Not that we no longer remember that it was bad. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think certainly even in this life, the scripture says, forget what is behind and press on.
Yes.
So we're rejoicing in the new heavens and new earth. Let's look at another reference at the end of the gospel prophet in chapter 66. And Billy, if you could read verses 22 and 23 for us.
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. As the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure. From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Lord.
So what's the significance? Your Bible said endure. Mine says remain. I don't know, Travis, you have, what does remain?
The NLT says remain.
Remain. What's the significance that it says this new heavens and new earth shall remain? The old one didn't remain, right? What's the significance? Is that a promise, Stephanie?
I think so. This is a promise that this is eternal. This is a place where righteousness dwells eternally. That's just mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling.
Yes.
I should translate it into the other languages, right? It's hard to grasp that, isn't it? It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful that sin has finally been dealt with and extinguished. The rebellion is over. Yes, Travis.
So I think we've, as people on this planet, have gotten used to things dying. There's always a season for things. Things are coming to an end. We live and we die And on this earth, that's not going to happen. Things will just stay beautiful. They'll stay amazing.
Wow.
So not only does this world remain, but it says, doesn't it say, your descendants and your name remain? Billy, what do you think the Lord is wanting to assure us of in those words?
I think we wouldn't be lost. I think that's a concept that we'll be enjoying this eternity with him. That he remembers us, he sees us, that we matter to him.
So you think the real Billy will be there?
I hope so.
Let's just make another one that looks like Billy, right? No. We are redeemed.
That's right.
Right? Yes. Your descendants and your name shall remain. What encouragement does that bring to you, Lisa?
I'm thinking about John 3:16, the promise of eternal life.
That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that not just he'll make a new world with new inhabitants, but what?
Whoever believes.
Whoever believes will not perish, but have
everlasting.
And it's not in a broken down planet.
Yes.
A new heavens and a new earth. Someone ought to use my favorite Hebrew.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, right? It's a new heavens and new earth. Yes, Travis.
I'm particularly happy about this whole idea because I'm just thinking of my mom. I will know her, and she's going to know me. Mm. You know, she died a few years ago, and I keep thinking, when I'm there, my mom will know me and recognize me.
Beautiful.
Because I'll be the same person, only, you know, I'll be made new, and I'll have new thoughts and a new mind, and it'll be amazing. Mm.
That is beautiful. You know, my father, when he was a teenager, his older sister died of tuberculosis. Mm-hmm. And there was this terrible sadness in his heart. She was the one that had led him to Jesus.
Wow.
And she died when she was 21 years old. He was still a teenager. And that question, will she know me? And the answer is yes. She will recognize you. He's like, well, that's a lot of years have gone by. But God will bring us together. We will not be some kind of reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
We will be the real people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be an amazing experience, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
In this new heavens and new earth. Why do you think in that prophecy it talks there about one new moon or month to another, one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come? How is that different from the way it is now, Haiti?
Oh, man.
All flesh shall come and worship before
I think it means every created thing in the universe.
Mm.
That includes things that we can't even imagine, that we can't even fathom or know of their existence. In addition to everyone and anything that has ever lived from the foundation of the earth until that time when he comes. So this will just be a huge, like, celebration and gathering to worship our Creator, our God. I think it's incredible.
And what's the word? What's a word that we don't have now, but we'll have then? It's the word harmony.
Yes.
How many of us will come to worship?
All
flesh. It's not like, well, a few remnant, you know, the remnant. No, no. All who have chosen to accept His saving grace, all will be coming and worshiping before the Lord. Amen?
Amen. Yeah,
that's so awesome, isn't
it? It's not like now where you're like, they're watching virtually, or where are they today? No, we're all there.
I wish we could all be there. Well, you know, that's some little glimpses in the gospel prophet. But then he tucks a verse at the end, Stephanie, in chapter 66, what we call verse 24. You know, there weren't chapters in the original scrolls, right? They were added later, right? About the 1100s AD, I think, they started first chapters, and then later they added verses. It was just to help us find our way around. But this is the end of the scroll. And part of me says, oh, Isaiah, I wish you hadn't included that last little verse. But it was revealed to him by God. So would you read it for us, and let's try to wrestle with what it says.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh.
Mm. How long does that last? Well, we do know in Revelation that the wicked will come and try to attack the city, and fire comes down from heaven. So if the redeemed are inside the New Jerusalem, you read it in the book of Revelation, I suppose it's possible that we might witness that tragic end to sin, because some people are clinging to it. How long will that devastation of corpses and worms and fire that's not quenched, how long will that last? Well, Isaiah doesn't tell us. Mm-hmm. It just says the fire is not quenched. Mm-hmm. Does that mean the fire will go on forever and ever? Mm-hmm. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed with unquenchable fire.
Correct.
That means it's unstoppable until it's accomplished its purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But how long will it last that we'll see that devastation? What's the answer? Well, let's look at a few verses that may help to answer that question, shall we? 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. 2 Peter, Travis,
mm-hmm.
chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. What did the Spirit of God reveal to the Apostle Peter?
And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, He will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth He has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So, I don't know what translation you have. That was the New Living Translation. But you have words like melt away and destroyed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What other words did you have there in your translation?
Dissolved.
Dissolved? Mm-hmm. It's very clear that whatever was there that is not under the protection of God will cease to exist, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Now you say, well, how long till that happens? Well, let's look in Malachi chapter 4. Malachi was one of the minor prophets. It's the last book in the collection of the Hebrew scriptures. In Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, Stephanie, if you have that, would read it for us.
And the New King James Version says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. Mm. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts."
So instead of having corpses and worms, we've got
ashes.
Now, I don't think we'll be going like we were stepping on something from a crematorium, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's saying it's all gone.
Yes.
It's all gone, and now there's a new heavens, a new earth. Travis?
So when we were reading in Isaiah, you were just seeing, but here they're actually walking. So they weren't walking, you know, so they were seeing the dead bodies and the corpses. I don't know that it did it say that they were actually walking among the dead corpses, or were they just seeing?
Seeing.
And so here they're walking, and now it's dust. So it
That's
seems
done.
Like there's a transition, right?
Mm. Mm.
Well, I think what the Lord wants us to remember or focus on in Revelation 21, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask Lisa if you'd read the first five verses, mm-hmm. is the promise and not the problem. Mm.
Yeah, that's right.
The promise and not the problem. The problem is not everybody mm-hmm. accepts his saving grace.
Yeah.
Right.
And tragically, those who cling to sin, when sin is destroyed, they are unfortunately, tragically, eternally separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a promise,
and
it's embedded in Revelation chapter 21, especially at the end. But let's start in verse 1.
Okay. Verse 1 to 5?
1 through 5 of Revelation chapter 21.
Okay. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I caught the end of verse 4 of Revelation 21 again. The former things have passed away. Mm-hmm. But you say, well, that's not the promise. What's the promise? Did you hear it in verse 5?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Lord who says,
Make all things new.
Behold, I make all things new.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And these words are faithful and true. Mm-hmm.
So I can trust them.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And if I know our loving God who loves us with an immeasurable and unfailing love, mm-hmm. even dealing with sin, we talked about this in a previous study, is an act of love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why?
Yes.
Why is the judgment and the fire coming down and cleansing the earth, why is that an act of love? Lisa?
Yeah, as long as sin remains, we're in danger. And so it is really for our protection. Those who choose God, those who choose to dwell in his righteousness, that they would live in a safe world and a safe environment.
All right. Billy?
And it would be torture if somebody doesn't love God or hates God to be in the presence of God and everybody praising God and that person doesn't love God. So it would be a sort of torture for to be in the to hate somebody and be before that person for eternity. Mm. So there is torture in that. I think God respects our decisions. He gives us choices. Mm-hmm. And if we decide to, you know, follow him or not follow him, he'll respect that. Mm. At the end of the day, he's the one who's actually going to hurt the most because he's going to spend eternity not having his loving children with him because they chose
not
to,
having all of them, right?
Not having, yeah, all of them with
by him. The way, how many of his children does he want with him?
All.
Yes. Not willing that
any should perish.
Right before the text, the day of the Lord will come.
Yes. Yeah.
He's not willing that any should perish. So there's this anguish in the heart of God saying, come. Well, there's still time, Billy. Mm-hmm.
And that can explain why I think in 2 Peter is when he says that, you know, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises.
Right.
That if we notice that God is, you know, delaying is because he's giving every chance for the person to repent because his ultimate goal is actually for everybody to make it to heaven. Mm-hmm. So if that is going to cause you a little delay or it seems like it's a little delay, to him it's like it's worth it because a soul is worth saving.
Mm-hmm. It's like you're heading on a trip and one of your children hasn't quite made it to the vehicle. And someone says, let's get going. And the mama says,
No, wait.
Got to wait for my child. Mm-hmm. Because his desire is that we would all spend eternity with him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, before this new heavens and new earth, and we can dream about how amazing it will be, mainly because it's a place where righteousness dwells.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But we've got a work to do before the rebirth of planet Earth. We're still in Isaiah chapter 66, and I'm going to ask us to read verses 18 through 21. And Haiti, if you could read that, chapter 66,
sure.
18 through 21.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and those among them who escape I will send to the nations, to Tarshish and Pul and Lud, who draw the bow, and to Baal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off, who have not heard my name nor seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Then they shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord out of all nations, on horses and in chariots and in litters, on mules and on camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take some of them for priests and Levites, says the Lord.
Okay, let's unpack it. They're going to be brought back from captivity. We know that Isaiah is prophesying that they will go into captivity, but a remnant will return. what is God's desire for the remnant? Is it just to stay out of trouble till Messiah comes and hopefully they'll be saved? What's the assignment, Stephanie?
He wants us to go to the Gentiles, and I say us, but that was his call, his purpose was, don't just keep the good news to yourself, mm-hmm. share it with those that need it as well.
Go to the nations, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To those who've not yet heard. Mm-hmm. How well did the remnant that returned, how well did they do in that mission assignment? Can you think of some who did well? They were faithful to the mission assignment. They took the gospel message, the good news, to the nations. I can think of one who was taken as a prisoner of war over 100 years after Isaiah. You remember what Daniel. His name was? Daniel, and his friends were
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
They were faithful, weren't they?
Yeah.
So they were. What about Esther? Mm-hmm. She believed in the God of heaven, even surrounded by the paganism of her day. Mm-hmm. So there were some, but overall, they didn't do a very good job, did they? But this prophecy of going to the nations before the rebirth of planet Earth, even if some fail with the mission, well, Jesus, he gathers a group together, doesn't he? Let's take a look in the Gospels. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Luke chapter 10. And Lisa, if you could read verses 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
Okay, I'm going to have a quiz now. When Jesus sent out the 12, because we typically think of 12, not 70, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When Jesus sent out the 12 disciples on their first missionary journey, where did he tell them to go? Do you remember? He said, only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But here with the 70, he says,
Everywhere.
If he goes to Samaria, you go to Samaria, right? If he goes to Tyre and Sidon, you go to Tyre and Sidon. You go, in fact, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.
Yes.
You go everywhere that the message needs to go. Now, this message that's being taken, it's interesting that it's an impossible assignment for humans to do. But Acts chapter 1, verse 8, key message, gives us what is desperately needed so that we don't, as followers of Jesus, fail in the mission of bringing this great news, not only about a new heavens and new earth, but how can we be part of that new heavens and new earth? So you're smiling, Stephanie. Acts 1 and verse 8, how does it read in your Bible?
And the New King James Version says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
That was the 70 or the 120 in the upper room or everyone who professes to be a follower of Jesus.
Everyone.
Multiple choice, all of the above, right?
Yeah.
It's all of the above. Let's look just at a couple of examples, can we? Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. You see, it's not enough to know there's going to be a rebirth of planet Earth. We need to tell people how they can be part of a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells.
Amen.
Travis, would you read for us from Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 5?
And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. And all the believers, except the apostles, were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning. But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church, He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah.
So you might go, oh, terrible. You know, Saul of Tarsus, he was kind of a terrorist, and and he helped participate in the martyrdom of Stephen. Right. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to bring everybody in chains. But what does God do by the Holy Spirit with the faithful followers of Jesus? Mm-hmm. What does he do?
He uses them all.
He sends them out. You know, it's almost like God can work even bad situations to accomplish his purpose.
Exactly.
He sends them out. Let's look at another challenge that God turned for good in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Acts 17, 1 through 6. Haiti, would you read that for us?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ.' And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too.'"
I was just thinking as we were listening to that text that the Apostle Paul, now called Paul rather than Saul of Tarsus, he may have actually quoted some of the prophecies from Isaiah that we've been studying, showing that the Christ had to suffer. It was prophesied there in Isaiah 53, right? Mm. And other places in the gospel prophet. But what do you think about this complaint at the end of verse 6 in Acts 17? What's your response to the complaint? Billy?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Mm. What does it say? What's the complaint?
They're turning the world upside down.
And now they're coming here.
Yeah. By the way, you say, well, that's a hyperbole. They didn't all turn the whole world upside down, but they were turning it upside down. And how was that possible? What have we just read?
The power of the Holy Spirit.
By the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That God is working in miraculous ways. Mm. Yes, Billy.
And that should be a lesson to us, because sometimes, you know, we want to change the world and we are doing it without the Holy Spirit. And we wonder why we're not effective, why we're putting a lot of money in order to save, preach, or do whatever. And then the results can't come back. And it might be because, you know, the Holy Spirit is not in it. So, and there are some ways you can argue, well, you know, maybe it wasn't as effective or we didn't do our homework. But I think, you know, the Holy Spirit does not need a lot of money or a lot of resources in order to be effective. Paul and Silas, they were in a few disciples. They were able to get complaints that this message is turning the whole society upside down. So God can use anything, whether he has money or not. He can be effective, but he needs to be part of the plan. Yes.
Absolutely. And he said, you will receive power, dunamis in the Greek, dynamite. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Some people say, Derek, how come you keep telling us we're not that strong and we're not that smart? And the answer is, if we think we can do it, we are in trouble. We need power from heaven, right? We need power from heaven. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 gives us a beautiful promise as we go on this mission. Before the rebirth of planet Earth, we've got a work to do. In Matthew 28, Travis, if you could read verses 19 and 20.
And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
To the very end.
The very end.
So he's not just speaking to the 12 or to the 70 or to the seven deacons like Philip and Stephen. He says, anyone who stands as my follower, I'm going to be with you. And how is he with us?
Through the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
Amen.
So we go in the power of Jesus' name. And what an amazing thought. Well, not only do we go, but there's something that we may have missed back in Isaiah 66, which is talking about God's ideal to go to all the nations. And it's verse 21. Isaiah 66, 21. Stephanie, how does that read in your Bible?
And the New King James Version says, and I will also take some of them for priests and Levites, saying, says the Lord.
Now, that may not shock us today, but it was shocking back then.
Yeah.
Why? Why was that a shocking message from the prophet that the Lord would choose some of these Gentiles to be what? Priests?
And Levites.
That's the ones who serve in the very temple of God.
Yes.
Yeah. I think because back then, even if you're an Israelite, if you did not come from the tribe of Levites, or you know, if you're a priest, you did not come from the lineage of Aaron, you could not serve. Now, imagine it's like you know, people who are not even in Israelites, you know, they were God's gonna redeem them, and so that they can serve as priests and His people basically.
There's a text in the New Testament that we want to read in 1 Peter chapter 2. Which tells us that, well, it's a startling. I won't even tell you what it says. We'll have to read it because it's quite startling. The Lord has promised he's going to take some of them for priests and Levites in the prophecy. But what does it say in 1 Peter chapter 2, Lisa, verses 9 and 10?
Okay. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Stephanie, that reminds me of your study, the previous study about coming out of the dark, hiding from God, and into the light of Jesus' presence. Beautiful, right? You are a chosen generation, a
royal priesthood.
Am I reading too much into the text to say that we are all called to be priests? We are all called to be Levites, that is, to serve in the very temple of God. What do you think about that?
I think that
Travis?
I don't think you are. I think of a verse, many are called, but few are chosen. I think you could be all are called, but only few are chosen because they don't accept the call.
Okay, it's not just out of the group of the redeemed a few are chosen. You would say we all are called as a royal priesthood. Yes, Lisa?
Well, I had a different thought about it. I was thinking about the body of Christ, and I think it's Paul talked about the body having different functions and different parts. So we all have different gifts and different callings, but it all serves to edify the body of Christ.
So would some be a chosen generation, others be a royal priesthood, and others be a holy nation? Or is that all applying to, all three is applying, Billy, to all of us?
Yeah, I think all, it applies to all of us. And I think that's very encouraging because some people may not think themselves as worth it or worthy of God's blessing. And God just, you know, take them from, you know, wherever. I mean, I'm talking to myself, too. Jump them from, you know, just a regular person to royalty and giving them the not just simple royalty, but giving them like the responsibility of priest and, you know, things that are precious and holy. So that level of trust and love, it's amazing to me.
The comment from Prince Billy. Yes, we're royal. We're royalty.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
But I want to come back to Lisa's point because I think it's important. That doesn't mean we may not have different functions.
That's right.
But we are all a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people.
Oh, yeah.
So what would some of the functions be that he would have us to perform or ways to serve as we're preparing for that rebirth of planet Earth. And we know before the rebirth comes the glorious return of Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know we've got to go to all the nations. So talk about some different ways that we might serve as part of the body. Mm-hmm. Could some be part of the Hope Sabbath School team?
That's right.
Is that everyone's gift?
No.
Well, what gift would you say would be necessary in order to be part of the Hope Sabbath School team? Besides being willing to be a volunteer, right? What would be some gifts that would be necessary?
I think being willing to, my first thought was, before you said the gifts, was that we would know who Jesus is for ourselves. We first have a personal relationship with him. So, because it's hard to share something that you don't have.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So someone could come who doesn't know Jesus, doesn't know the Bible, mm-hmm. and say, hey, Haiti, I hear that you're on. I want to be on TV. Can I be on TV too? And the answer would be, well, there are some decisions that need to be made, as well as gifts, you're saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Personal commitment to Christ, study of his word. What are the gifts? What about gifts would be needed to be part of the team? Billy?
What I was going to say is that, yeah, we can give, because a friend of mine was asking me, well, you know, do you need to be... have a certain profession in order to, you know, serve.
And I think, you know, they think that you're all theologians.
Yeah, and that's,
no, you're not. You have all different professions, right?
Yeah. Right. And what I tell them is that God can use anybody and anything.
Yes.
And I think even before that, we need to start looking at people differently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That when, just like, you know, God sees that, you know, everybody has the potential to be like a royal priest or, you know, have royalty. I think when we see people, we need to see them at their potential. That would enable us for us to invest in people despite, you know, whatever they look like. And also not to be caught up that, well, in order for me to serve God, then I need to be a theologian or I need to be part of this team. And I think your gift may be the ability to sing or the ability to text and send encouragement to people. Mm-hmm. I think it's vast and the spectrum is really large so that you can do what you're good at but dedicate it to God so that it can be effective, just like we talked about with the Holy Spirit. Just insert the Holy Spirit in your practice and you'll see it very effective.
Mm-hmm. I think it's helpful to have the gift of teaching. That's mm-hmm. one of the spiritual
yes.
gifts.
Yeah.
It's helpful to have the gift of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
But those aren't the only gifts. And
sure.
there might be someone that says, I would rather not be on the panel mm-hmm. that's in an interactive Bible study mm-hmm. with a million people around the world. Mm-hmm. And one of those might be my wonderful companion, my wife, who would love to help organize and compose scripture songs.
Yes.
Is that any less of a gift than leading the teaching?
No.
Mm-hmm.
So back to what Lisa said, no one then should say, well, I can't be part of taking the good news to the nations. Mm-hmm. I've got to leave that up to Stephanie or Lisa mm-hmm. or Billy or Haiti or Travis. Mm-hmm. We would say no. Mm-hmm. So what are some other gifts that maybe aren't manifested mm-hmm. in this in-depth interactive study of the Word of God that you'd say to people watching today, mm-hmm. use your gift too
yes.
to call the nations mm-hmm. to the Messiah, to trust him, so that when planet Earth is rebuilt, they'll be a part of that new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells.
I would like to highlight prayer, just simply because all of us, I know that we all make a sacrifice to come here, and even being on the panel, you know, we may do our preparations, but ultimately, if the Holy Spirit is not here, it would be clear. And so we definitely rely on prayer warriors. I know that Mrs. Morris prays for us, and a lot of our partners pray for us as well. And so one thing that our viewers can do definitely is pray for us. We need that prayer, and we need God's mm-hmm. guidance to know what to say and how to comment. And, of course, for you, Pastor Derek, and those who teach as
Stephanie
well.
Stephanie and you and Travis,
right.
and we have many who teach, right?
Yes.
And many of you who download the outline mm-hmm. and go and teach an interactive class in Malawi or Zimbabwe or New Zealand or wherever you are, you also need people praying for you, right?
Yeah.
Because, and you need, of course, the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's the power that enables us mm-hmm. to share people, come out of the darkness into God's marvelous light. Travis?
Well, I was thinking, you know, they don't see the camera crew, you know, that's here filming us today. And I know if I had to run one of them, I would be lost. So I'm thankful that they have the talent and the skill, and God's gifted them to be able to do that, and, you know, the behind the scenes things that go on.
So people who run the switch and the switcher and the director and the audio specialist and the person that makes the Bible text come up on the screen when we're reading in the version that you're using, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And the people that operate the cameras,
they
can choose also to all be part of that proclaiming of the light of the gospel to the world, not just the people that we see on the set. Haiti.
I was going to say, during normal circumstances, you guys typically feed us, and there's someone that has to even contribute that talent of preparing food for us. But I was going to say, not everyone might have that talent. Sometimes your talent is just to bring people to the light. Mm-hmm. My parents were not familiar with the Bible when they were growing up. They did grow up in a homes where they believed in God, but they didn't know the Bible really. And my father had a friend in high school who just kept inviting him to a Bible study to the point that my dad was annoyed. And he was like, I'll go just to get him to leave me alone. And he went and took his girlfriend at the time, which is my mother. And when they went, they were like, this is amazing. We've never heard anything like this. And they kept going till they went through all the studies and were baptized. So sometimes you just do that.
It could be as simple as just giving an invitation to come to a Bible study, or to say, download the Hope Sabbath School app. Right?
Yes.
It could be as simple as an invitation. But it was a life-changing invitation, wasn't it?
Yes.
When that invitation came to search the Word of God. I want to come back to the food. I know we're in a pandemic here, and so we're not singing and we don't have food when we're here all day. But the person, by the way, we don't have a banquet, right? But the person who makes that big pot of soup, you're saying that's an important part of the mission too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There are other gifts too, though. Help us with some of the other gifts. Gift of healing. Mm-hmm. What are the gifts, Stephanie?
Yeah, I was thinking of the medical team that works closely with people who are sick. And but really, wherever you are, wherever God has you now, use that as an opportunity to minister to someone. Mm-hmm. Wherever it is now, do that.
With whatever gift he's
That's
given
right.
to you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that brings us to the text again, that we declare the praises. Remember that?
Yeah.
Called
us
out of darkness. We would declare the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Mm-hmm. Let's get practical. How can we declare the praises of the Lord God? How can we do that? Mm-hmm. Give me some ways. Yes?
The first thing that comes to my mind is let someone know how he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
All right. Give your testimony.
That's right.
All right. We've heard that sometimes here. And many people write and say, boy, your testimony was powerful.
Yeah.
You know, Lee's a cancer survivor now for 8 years, and she shares her testimony. Mm-hmm. Or Travis came to know Jesus sitting in a tree when he started reading about Jesus. People hear those stories. Billy, you know, under fire in Iraq or South Sudan and finding peace in his heart that he's in on the mission where God wants him to be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we can give our testimony. Mm-hmm. And when we're doing that, how do we make sure that we're not declaring our praises but his praise when we give our testimony? Mm-hmm. What do you think, Stephanie?
I think it's where we put our focus. Mm-hmm. Is it on what God has done? And let me tell you how he worked this out for me. Mm-hmm. Or is it all about who I am now and all about me?
Or even all about focus. The bad things I did.
Mm-hmm. True.
Right. You know, a powerful testimony, an anointed, can I use the word Holy Spirit anointed testimony? Mm-hmm. People say, wow, she or he was a mess before they connected with Jesus. And Jesus gave them new life. And look at the miracle now, right, Travis?
The testimony of a changed life is the greatest miracle above all, I believe.
True.
And the one pastor said one time that God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. So you're not born into the church. Everybody, and all of a sudden you're saved. Everybody has a testimony. God has worked in every Christian's life. And everyone has a testimony to share.
I think we're answering my last question, which is, There's a multitude that doesn't know that God loves them with an immeasurable and unfailing love. That God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, Messiah, prophesied through the ages, and that he saves us if we come to him, and that he's going to prepare a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Mm-hmm. The best way to share that, you're saying, is to give our testimony.
Yes.
So does someone have a short testimony to give of how God called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light? A 60-second testimony. Travis?
I have many to share, and it's an ongoing testimony, but the biggest thing for me is when I realized that all I had to do was just give my life to Jesus and that he would take care of the rest of it was the most amazing revelation to me, because as a young man, I'd worked my whole life thinking that I had to earn salvation, and the chains came off when I realized, whew, it's up to Jesus. I just have to fall at his feet and say, Jesus, save me.
And how often do you make that decision?
Daily, hourly, hourly. Just it's a constant commitment.
You know, when we are thinking that we're saved by our own good deeds, we'll give up.
That's
we
right.
will. Mm-hmm. And many of you could give that testimony. But when we realize that God's grace is sufficient for us,
amen.
And we don't run away from him, but we run to him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's able to save us, isn't he?
Amen. Amen.
Someone's watching today and you're saying, I've been running away and I need to run toward God. I need to say, God, that new heavens and new earth, that rebirth of planet Earth that the scriptures talk about, I want to be part of that new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells. My friend, it can be yours through faith in Jesus. He is your all-sufficient Savior.
Amen. Amen.
He reveals the immeasurable and unfailing love of God. Will you trust him today? And if you say, Pastor, I've done that, and like Travis said, I need to confess that every day. Jesus, be my Savior today. Be Lord of my life today. There's someone you know who needs to know. Mm-hmm. They need to know that God loves her too. God loves him too. Let's be those beautiful feet that Isaiah talked about, going out and sharing that message. Mm. Pray with me. Mm. Father in heaven, there's a world that needs to hear that you love us with an immeasurable and unfailing love, that you have provided all that is needed for our salvation, and you have a beautiful plan for our lives. We accept that beautiful promise today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we've got some work to do. We've got to go out, just as Isaiah said, and share the light of God's glory with the world. They too can be saved in his kingdom. Go out. Be a blessing to those around you.